don't wear tight fitting clothes. If you wrap the wings so tightly, it's almost if nobody knows, but every day they grow. Their wingspan twice the size of their height. I was looking out the window of a bus one day, and I saw him catch him flight. And I knew that he'd be worried, because he's always been so scared of heights, but I guess now he sees. He never really was a he, never really had to be what he was watching on TV, because now he's flying sky high over the deep blue stormy sea. Thank you. Guys, like, people often ask me what that poem's about. You know, like, maybe it's about, maybe it's about the trans experience. Maybe it's about being born into a body that you don't recognize, having to create your own identity, forge your own way in life. Or maybe it's about redefining masculinity. Maybe it's about these soft lads, these gentle boys, these boys that surround me. Or actually it's about X-Men. I don't know if you guys have seen X-Men. Yeah, good, I'm glad. There's a scene in the third movie of the originals where a guy literally grows wings and beats the shit out of a hospital. It's a fucking great film, man. I'd recommend you watch it if you like superhero movies. I really love superhero movies, for sure. I've always loved superhero movies. They've been like, sci-fi has been a really big part of my upbringing, because my parents actually met in a quantum time loop. I don't know if anyone can relate, but actually it's a really funny story. My dad bought a time machine by accident. He thought it was an electric barbecue, but instead of sizzling sausages, it took him back to 1992. And he was overwhelmed by this sudden misadventure. Surprised, he had to relive his life, but he thought, there's not a second to wait, because all I gotta do is find my future wife. And he finds her at a rundown apartment where she lived during her university days. She didn't recognize this stranger in front of her. He said to her, "Now this might sound quite strange. We met in the French Alps on holiday. We made quite a pair, you and me. We very quickly established a relationship. In fact, we married in 1993. We have two kids together. They're funny and a little bit insane, but I appear to have got stuck in the past. So I wondered, would you be up for doing it again?" And my mum rolls her eyes, shrugs her shoulders. You see, she had the pick of the guys, but for some reason, she really did believe him. So she said, "Fine, you've got the rest of my life." And my dad tells me how he met my mother on a skiing trip organized by his uni. And my mum tells me how she met my father. He was this nutter that was stark raving loony. And I said, "Dad, don't you think that was a bit of a bold move? A bit of a gamble, a bit of a risk? I mean, if a bloke told me that on my doorstep, I would think he was taking the piss." My dad says, "No, I'm not a man of religion. I don't believe in miracles, and I don't believe in fate. But I've never met another quite like your mother. And there's not a second that I'm willing to wait." Thank you. I appreciate this is a festival. We've got quite a lot of sound clash going on. Doing poetry is quite hard. I don't know if you've ever done a poem on stage, if you've ever tried to do stand-up comedy, if you've ever told a story to a group of 3 to 4 people. It's hard, man. It's nerve-wracking, it's difficult. But you know, I'm gonna give myself permission to be crap. Permission to take the mic at the freestyle rap. Permission not to fall into the trap of predicting the criticism before it exists. Permission to take the piss. to bend the parameters of what is called art. Permission to start, to try, to feel so embarrassed, I feel like I want to die. It's a key factor to being a musician, an artist, a poet, an actor. Embracing your flaws will only open doors. Now, I'm not saying you'll ever be free. I'm definitely not leading by example, so you don't have to listen to me. The self-doubt will flout its ugly head, and 10 years from now, you will still hear the ringing of something some guy once said, but like, that's fine. It's not a competition. You don't have to finish in a good time. It's a process. One so slow you won't even notice, but before you know it, you're getting up on stage. You have something to say. You are chatting, you are clapping, and somehow stuff just starts happening. You are unbothered, unsmothered. Something beautiful inside of you gets uncovered. Now, that's something you can take to your best friend, to your lover. Unbotheredness. I'm not saying don't care. I'm aware that being nonchalant doesn't get you a whole lot, but maybe there's love and there's passion that can be done in a fashion that will make you loud and proud and peek some sunshine through those dark clouds. In a roundabout way, what I'm trying to say is be silly and play. Ask for what you want and mean what you say. You are never gonna be perfect, but mate, you're probably okay. Thanks. I just got one more little poem for you. Every single poem I've ever written, I've written for myself, man. These poems are my mantra. These poems are the words that I say to myself in the mirror of the girls' toilets, before I walk back into the party, before I walk on stage, before I go into the job interview, before I walk into whatever the fuck makes me feel like I need to big myself up, you know? And I don't know where you guys feel that feeling of empowerment, but personally, I feel it in my stomach. I feel it rise up the back of my spine. I feel my jaw unclench. I feel my shoulders relax. Suddenly I'm looking people in the eye. Yeah? I'm telling the people that I love them. And I don't know what this feeling is, this feeling that I get in my pit in my stomach, but personally I believe that is my feminine. I believe it lives within each and every single one of you. I believe she is strong. I believe she is sexy. I believe she is hard to hide. And right now I am looking into her eyes. I want you to give me that girl with the ego. Because where she go, I go. She's free though. Give me that girl with the presence on stage. Give me that girl that doesn't act her age. Give me that girl that is proud of her rage and manages to channel it in creative ways. I wanna be her mate. No, wait, I wanna be her. She lives inside of me. I just need to free her. Surround myself with women that only wanna see her. Surround myself with women that are just like me. Duh! Give me that girl that is unapologetic. Give me that girl that won't let me forget it. Give me that girl that is endlessly courageous. Give me that girl that is stupidly flirtatious. Give me that girl that just don't give a shit. Give me that girl that won't let me quit. Give me that girl that gives everyone a kiss. Give me that girl, she is ridiculous. Give me that girl that she is ridiculous. Give me that girl that laughs the loudest. That is the girl of which I'm proudest. Because that's the girl we were taught to hide. And girl, I know you got her living inside. So hold your head high. Always take pride in the power of your prowess and the palace of your mind. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be Racy Gracie.
Ini hanya ungkapan untuk mengungkapkan hal yang baik dan hal yang buruk memakai ungkapan yang sama. Ungkapan anjing. Anjing!
ничего не пишите.
Не пишите.
Ничего не читайте.
Читайте.
Ничего не говорите.
Говорите.
Ничего
не печатайте.
Thank you. what evil lurks in the hearts of men. The Shadow knows.
Once again, your neighborhood blue coal dealer brings you the thrilling adventures of The Shadow, the hard and relentless fight of one man against the forces of evil. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcibly to old and young alike that crime does not pay. Friends, war has driven the demand for anthracite coal to an all-time high. Yes, anthracite has pitched in to do five big extra wartime heating jobs, of which replacing wood is just one. That's right, friends. Wood, cordwood, was an important peacetime fuel. But suddenly it disappeared. All over rural America, wood piles vanished. The cutters were off to war or to work in war plants in the city. 544,000 homes faced bitter cold weather without fuel unless anthracite was immediately supplied. But you can bet it was supplied, friends. And not just to meet this missing wood emergency, but to meet other wartime demands, too. To fill Uncle Sam's huge new military coal bin. To replace oil shipped to Africa. And coke now making steel in Pittsburgh mills. True, to meet these tremendously increased demands, you have been limited to 87.5% of last year's coal. But knowing how vital the coal thus made available is to victory, we know you are accepting this war limitation cheerfully. The Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Several years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret, the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible Shadow belongs. Today's drama, Drums of Doom.
Lamont, have you ever seen such dancing? She's wonderful.
Unbelievable, Margot. She's all over the stage at once.
Ooh, what tom-toms giving the shivers.
Most amazing bit of interpretive dancing I've ever seen. The high spot on Louise Winona's career, all right.
This is the Macumba number, isn't it, Lamont?
Yes, based on a native sacrificial dance at Haiti. According to the program, no white man's ever seen it before.
Look, Lamont. She's actually frozen in the middle of the stage, staring up as though she were hypnotized.
Heaven.
Something's wrong, Lamont. The curtain's coming down.
Yes, I wonder what it...
Oh, Lamont, what could have happened?
Ladies and gentlemen, I regret to announce... that due to a sudden indisposition, Miss Ronaldo will be unable to continue her performance.
Oh, what a pity.
Yes?
Miss Lane?
Yes, I'm Miss Lane. What? You're Louise Ronaldo, the dancer.
Yes. They told me I might find Mr. Cranston here. It is terribly important that I see him.
Oh, well, I'm expecting him shortly. Won't you come in?
Thank you.
Why, that was a brilliant performance you gave last night. I hope your sudden illness was nothing serious. Illness? Is that unfortunate interruption in your performance last night?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was most unfortunate. In the midst of life, there is always death.
What?
Oh, there's nothing. An old proverb.
Oh, that's probably Mr. Cranston now. Excuse. Will you excuse me?
Of course, Miss Lane.
Hello, Margot.
Lamont, Louise Ronaldo, the dancer, is here to see you.
She wants me?
Yes, and she's been terribly frightened about something.
Well, let's go and find out what this is all about.
Hello, Miss Ronaldo. Miss Lane tells me you wanted to see me.
Oh, yes, Mr. Cranston. It is very important. Could I speak to you alone?
Speak freely in front of Miss Lane.
Oh, very well.
I wanted to show you this. I know you have made a study of these things, Mr. Cranston, and I hope you would be able to help me.
Where did you get this?
I found it in my dressing room last night. And then, during the performance, I happened to look up in the scenery loft. A larger one hung up there, suspended in midair, like an omen of the devil. And that's when I screamed. Oh, Mr. Cranston, you've got to help me. I'm in terrible danger.
Why, it's just a piece of black satin cut out in the shape of a little hand.
Do you have a scissors, Margot?
Wait, yes. Just a minute,
Margot. Oh, Mr. Cranston, I don't know what to do. They are after me.
Come now, Miss Ronaldo. You've got to pull yourself together.
Here,
Mrs. Oh, thanks, Margot. I will cut open this hand. Just as I thought. A bone and dust inside.
I'm afraid I don't follow all this. What is this queer-looking black hand?
Margot, it's a symbol of something that reaches into the heart of our most civilized places. In the black jungles of Haiti.
Sounds menacing.
It is. This little black hand is a voodoo.
Voodoo?
Yes, Margot, the black magic of Haiti. This little black hand is the calling card of the voodoo. Whoever receives it is marked for death.
Lamont, Miss Ronaldo found the black hand right on this dressing room table, didn't she?
Yes, Margot, and I... Shh, quiet.
Oh, I didn't know Mrs. Ronaldo had this time.
Well, she asked us to wait in her dressing room until the performance was over.
I am sorry, Mrs. Ronaldo, today. I come to get castanet for her next number.
Sarah, have you been with Miss Ronaldo long?
6 months. I must go. Mrs. Ronaldo waits for castanet.
Not very talkative, is she?
See the look on her face, Margot, when she saw this little black hand?
Yes, it was either fear or guilt.
Margot, I think we better watch the rest of this show from the wings. Come on.
Lamont, she's giving a magnificent performance. No one in the audience would ever suspect that poor girl's terror-stricken.
Mr. Cranston.
Yes?
I'm Ralph Henderson, Miss Ronaldo's manager.
Oh, how do you do? This is Miss Lane.
How do you do?
Louise had told me that you consented to help her. Frankly, I'm afraid for her. She never was very strong, and this fear that's taken hold of her seems to be undermining her health completely.
Mr. Henderson, do you know anything about Miss Ronaldo's maid, Sarah? She's a native of Haiti, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a strange girl full of native superstitions.
Do you have any idea who might have put that voodoo in Miss Ronaldo's dressing room last night?
Oh, well, I've been trying to figure it out. You see, I know a bit about Haitian folklore myself. Perhaps Louise may have unwittingly antagonized the natives on a trip to Haiti. Well, the arm of the voodoo is long, Mr. Cranston.
Zara?
Well, she'd be the most likely suspect, but she seems so devoted to Louise.
Good heavens, the sandbag fallen.
He's been hit!
Get a doctor, quick!
Was it Miss Ronaldo?
I can't tell. There's so much confusion out there.
Bill, ring down the curtain.
How is Louise, Mr. Cranston?
She's not injured, Mr. Henderson. She just fainted when the sandbag fell so close to her. She's still unconscious. We'll need some water.
Oh, Zara, get some water.
Yes, Mr. Henderson.
That other dancing girl was killed, wasn't she, Lamont?
Yes, it was a terrible death.
Oh, dear. I think she's coming out of it.
Water, miss.
Oh, thanks, Zara. Dear Miss Ronaldo, try to swallow a little of this. There. That's fine.
The drum.
What is she talking about?
Shh. I want to hear what she's saying.
Grave, tombstone, bracelet. It is them. It is them. Papaluba. Papaluba.
What are you gibbering about?
Papaluba there.
Listen to the drum.
A voice. It is zombie. A voice of walking dead.
Thanks.
Zombie.
Yes?
It is zombie.
Miss Ronaldo needs quiet. Don't mind taking Zara outside.
Papaluba. Huh?
All right.
It's zombie.
Come on, Zara.
It's zombie.
I wanted to get them out of here, Margot. I think this may be a chance to find out some things we want to know.
Lamont, she seems to be in a trap.
Yes, I know. It'll help.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to try hypnotism. Louise Ronaldo, listen to me. You're going to tell me everything.
everything that has frightened you from the beginning.
Yes, from the beginning. It began in Haiti. We were walking through the woods one day.
Oh, Ralph, this Haitian countryside is beautiful.
It has been fun exploring it, but getting dark, Louise. I think we ought to be starting back.
Oh, Ralph, look over there. Those tombstones. Why, it is a native burial ground.
Louise, come back here.
Oh, Ralph, come and look at the exquisite trinkets on these graves.
Don't touch them, Louise. Those ornaments are put on the graves by the natives to ward off evil spirits. The natives are very superstitious. And... listen. Tom-toms in the hills.
Oh, it is just a ceremonial dance, Ralph. Oh, look. Here's a curious-looking bracelet on this headstone here.
Hey. Why, that must be centuries old. A relic of the old slave trading days.
I want...
no, Louise. I'd stir up trouble with the natives.
I don't care. I want it for my collection. And I'm going to take it.
Louise. We'd better get out of here quick. There's someone watching us from behind that tombstone.
All right. There is no one behind that tombstone. Only under it. And he will never need the bracelet.
What was the beginning? From the moment I took that bracelet from the grave, I had no peace. I did not sleep. And always I hear the tombstone throbbing. It almost drives me mad. Finally, my husband suggests we cut our visit short and return to the States.
Her husband? I didn't know she was married.
Shh, Margo. Your husband?
Yes. Ralph Henderson.
Ralph Henderson? Why, that's her manager.
Shh, let her go on, Margo.
The trip back was uneventful. The symptoms disappeared. I thought I was cured. After we got here, I began rehearsing for my recital. And then it started again.
What started again?
Visions in the night. I would wake and see a figure standing by my bed, pointing at me. And then the drums would begin.
She's coming out of it. Quiet, Mama.
Where am I? Oh, Mr. Cranston, Miss Lane.
Telling us a very interesting story, Miss Rinaldo.
What did I say?
A good deal. Why were you keeping your marriage to Ralph Henderson a secret?
Oh, did I tell you that? He thought it would interfere with my career if it were known. Please, do not let him know I told you.
No, we'll keep your secret.
One more question, Miss Rinaldo.
Yes?
That slave bracelet you took from the grave, you have it with you?
No. No, it has been missing for several days now.
Could you describe it to me?
I have a picture of it here in my bag.
Good.
I was going to sell the bracelet to a dealer. I had it photographed so he could distribute copies among his clients. Ah, here is the picture.
Thanks. Very unusual looking. Shouldn't be hard to identify.
Oh, what do you think, darling?
Later, Margo. Well, Miss Rinaldo, I think you'll be all right for tonight. Miss Lane and I have to be running along now.
Over here.
Oh, there's Shreve's cab, Lamont.
Hey, where have you two been? You said I should meet you here after the show, you said. It's been over for hours.
Get in, Margo. I'm sorry, Shreve. We had a little business backstage. Hope you didn't mind waiting.
No, I didn't mind. I didn't. I had the meter running the whole time.
You know, Lamont, I'd say that Zara is the most likely suspect. Maybe one of her ancestors was buried in that grave.
No, Margo, I've got a hunch there's something more diabolic than that behind this case. You see, Margo, that sandbag didn't fall by accident. The rope holding it was cut.
That someone meant to kill Louise Rinaldo tonight?
I'm not sure, Margot. Anyone might have been under that sandbag when it fell, and the person who cut the rope knew that.
But I don't understand.
That doesn't make much sense, does it?
Lamont, what about that bracelet? If we could find out who stole it.
Yes, Margot, I've been thinking about that. Maybe we'll locate that bracelet through Doc Bronson.
Doc Bronson? Who's he?
Someone in the shadow, sent to jail some years ago. He's a dealer in all sorts of strange curios, charms, bracelets, amulets, mostly stolen.
That bracelet was stolen from Miss Ronaldo. The chances are sooner or later it'll find its way to Doc's place.
And you think...
I think it's about time the Shadow renewed Doc's acquaintance.
Yes? What can I do for you? Well, it's fine. There's no one here. I could have sworn I heard the door open. Who's that?
You've forgotten your old friend, Doc?
That voice. It's the Shadow.
So you do remember me.
What do you want with me this time, Shadow? I ain't done nothing.
The little black hand I've just thrown on the counter. Do you recognize it?
No. I never saw it before.
Haven't you, Doc? What about that bracelet you're fingering so nervously? Where did you get it?
A friend gave it to me.
That bracelet was stolen from Louise Ronaldo, the dancer. It's a collector's item worth a fortune. Worth even murder.
I know what you're talking about.
You're lying, Doc. I remember receiving stolen goods is one thing, murder is another.
Murder? I ain't mixed up with no murder, Shadow.
Where did you get that bracelet?
All right, I'll tell you. Nobody's going to pin a murder rap on me. Some customer gave it to me as payment for a job I done.
What job?
That little black hand. This customer asked me to make him another one, just like the one I made for Gloria Nelson.
Gloria Nelson? Gloria Nelson died under mysterious circumstances a few years ago. Or maybe she was murdered, Doc.
Honest, I had nothing to do with it. All I did was...
Where'd you make those voodoos, Doc?
It was...
Doc! Doc! Dead.
March winds roaring around and over your home, as they do, friends, have an effect on firing your furnace you don't want to overlook. Yes, high winds inevitably increase the pull of the draft in your chimney and accelerate the rate at which your fire burns. What can you do? Well, close the turn damper as far as possible, for one thing. But the best thing to do is install an automatic heat regulator now. Do it now for two reasons. First, to save precious coal. At this season particularly, hand control of furnace dampers is inefficient and wasteful. Trying to keep up with changes in wind velocity makes correct hand regulation practically impossible. So install a heat regulator and let it control those dampers for you efficiently, automatically. Your regulator will keep the temperature in your home right on the beam without any attention from you and protect your family from spring colds due to uneven heating. And remember, heat regulators are quickly available now. They may not be next fall. So be safe, friends. Call your dealer and order your automatic heat regulator tomorrow. And now, back to the Shadow.
Commissioner Weston will see you now, Mr. Cranston.
Oh, thanks, officer.
Well, hello, Mr. Cranston.
Oh, Mr. Henderson. Were you just in talking to the commissioner?
Yes, that unfortunate accident at the theater. Police have been conducting an inquiry.
Oh, is that so?
I hope you're not one of the suspects.
No, I'm afraid my visit here is purely social. Commissioner's a good friend of mine. Well, how is Miss Ronaldo?
Well, Mr. Cranston, I'm afraid her health won't stand up under the strain. Her heart isn't too strong.
Why don't you get her to go away for a while?
I've suggested that, but she won't hear of it. Well, I've got to get back to the matinee. Goodbye, Mr. Cranston.
Goodbye, Mr. Henderson.
Oh, hello, Cranston. What's on your mind?
Hello, Commissioner. I wonder if you'd do me a favor.
What is it?
Remember the Nelson case about 2 years ago, I think it was?
Nelson? You mean Gloria Nelson, the heiress?
That's right.
That's one I won't forget. She was found dead in her home. Someone in the department got the bright idea it was murder. We investigated thoroughly, and there wasn't anything to that theory. Gloria Nelson died of a heart attack. She was... what's that favor you're going to ask?
Well, I'd like the name of Gloria Nelson's nearest living relative. You probably have it in the files.
What's on your mind, Cranston? You haven't found out anything, have you?
Oh, come, Commissioner. You know I have no interest in crime.
Pardon me, Commissioner. I just got this report from the 9th Precinct. Old Doc Bronson's been found dead in his curio shop.
Doc Bronson, huh? Looks like the underworld is settling accounts again. Well, I think I'd better go down and have a look myself.
Well, but Commissioner...
Huh?
The file on Gloria Nelson, remember?
Now, Cranston, you can't have it. It's against regulations. Yeah, you'll find it in that first filing cabinet.
Good old Weston.
Lamont, we've got to do something. Luis Rinaldo just about got through a performance tonight. I never saw anyone so frightened.
Yes, I know, Margot.
Lamont.
Hmm?
My door. It's open.
Margot, wait out here.
Be careful, Lamont.
There's no one here. It's all right. Come in, Margot.
Now, what do you suppose? I'm sure I locked the door.
Look, Margot, on that chair.
What is it?
Little black satin doll with a dagger through its heart.
What does it mean?
Another sign of the voodoo, Margot. It means someone's going to die tonight.
Oh, Lamont.
Now, we've got to act fast. Go over to Luis Rinaldo's apartment. Don't alarm her, but get her out of there somehow. I've got a hunch we'll find the answer to some of our questions tonight in Luis Rinaldo's apartment. Good. Margot's got on the way. Let's pick this lock. Someone's opening the door.
Oh, help. Help me.
Zara, what happened? You're hurt.
No. No, Miss Cranston. Hurry. Miss Rinaldo. Miss Lane in danger. Theater. Hurry.
Louise. I don't think we should have come.
You heard the voice on the phone? I must come here to the theater at once if I wanted to end this horror.
I'd like to know who made that call. There's nothing so menacing as a dark, empty theater. If only we could put on a few lights.
No, no, no. Well, the voice said, from darkness the terror came. From darkness, it must go. It said we must find the center of the stage and wait there.
I don't like this.
Suppose it's a trap for me. I think we ought to leave at once. The drums. They're back in my head again. They are following me.
I hear them too. Louise, we're getting off the stage right now.
The light. Someone has turned the spotlight on us.
Don't move out of the circle of that light.
Who are you?
You die here tonight.
That voice. I can't see the spotlight
blinding me. You took the breath that's from the grave. You have violated the sleep of the dead. You must stay with the light.
No! No!
Louise.
You will die with our Miss Lane.
Oh, no.
I will come down. Down. You die now.
Light's gone out.
Oh, Shadow. Oh, thank heaven you come. Yes, Shadow, I will.
Why don't you come up and get me? You can't prove anything. Ruth, you've been talking to Ruth? She lied. Whatever she told you, she lied. Gloria's death was due to natural causes. The police said so. No, no, it's not true. You know too much. Who are you? You won't be a shadow when I get the spotlight focused on you. There. I've got the spotlight on. I'll just swing this beam around until I can see you. Then you'll be a perfect target for my knife. I hear you coming, but I can't see you. The light's right on you, but I can't see you. I can't see you. I can't see. Voodoo! Voodoo! Down!
Ah!
But, Lamont, I still don't understand what made him do it.
And you see, Margot, Henderson, alias Nelson, was a psychological murderer. Took fiendish delight in literally frightening his victims to death.
Oh, how horrible.
His plan was to marry into a wealthy family, get his wife to sign over her interests to him, and then proceed to terrorize her.
But where does the voodoo come into it?
When he and Louise took that trip to Haiti, he gave him an idea how to get rid of her. And when she took the amulet from the grave, she was playing right into his hands.
You mean he used her own conscience to frighten her?
Yes. Together with a recording of tom-toms, the witch doctor's costume, those voodoos he got from the dock. Henderson had Doc killed to seal his lips, just as he killed Zara when she refused to assist him further in his plans.
Oh. Then Zara was in the scheme, too.
Yes. She confessed just before she died.
But, Lamont, where does that falling sandbag fit into the picture?
All part of Henderson's campaign of fear, Margot.
Oh, I see. You know, you never did tell me what happened up there in the scenery loft with Henderson and the shadow.
Well, naturally, Henderson couldn't see the shadow coming. He must have fallen a victim of his own power of suggestion. Thought the shadow was some kind of black magic that had finally caught up with him. And as a result, he jumped to his death from the catwalk.
And now, friends, let me introduce Blue Coal's distinguished heating expert, John Barclay.
Thank you, Ken Roberts, and good evening, friends. Or perhaps I should say good afternoon, with the days so much longer. Spring is here, or will be shortly. And spring brings with it special conditions to keep in mind in heating your home. First, as we've noted, the day is longer. And the sun's rays are daily gaining in strength, too. So what you want to be sure to do is get all the good you can out of those solar rays. Let the sun help heat your home. Keep the shades up. Allow it to shine in all you can. That'll help quite a lot. You'll be surprised how much. Now, another thing is the problem of high winds. Watch out for them. They create a stronger draft in your chimney, cause your fire to burn too fast and overheat your home. Offset high winds by closing the turn damper of your furnace just as far as you can. And I'd like to repeat an earlier warning about carrying a deep fire even in mild weather. Remember, another little trick of spring weather is the sudden drop in temperature. So for best results, even in mild weather, keep a deep fire. Then you're always prepared. I thank you.
The Shadow program is based on a story copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications. The characters, names, places, and plots are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Again next week, the shadow will demonstrate that... Next week, same time, same station, your friendly Blue Coal dealer brings you another strange and thrilling adventure in the shadow's daring battle against the forces of evil. Be sure to listen. This is Ken Roberts saying, keep the home fires burning with Blue Coal. This story produced by the DL&W Coal Company, distributors of Blue Coal. This is Mutual. The first nighter will follow. Longines watches have been honored by 10 World's Fair grand prizes and 28 gold medal awards. Longines jewelers also show the Whitnor watch, a companion product of outstanding value in the moderate price field. WOR, New York.